In 2 weeks, Florida voters will again cast their ballots for a medical marijuana initiative. And cities and counties across the state are fretting over what that means for their jurisdiction. Much has changed since the earlier measure failed in 2014, but the ardor of its opponents remains strong. I'm Nick Evans. After nearly four decades of a war on drugs, Americans' opinion of marijuana appears to be changing dramatically. This month, Pew Research found 57% of Americans support full legalization. A June Quinnipiac poll returned a slight majority in favor of legalization as well. But it's the narrower question of medical cannabis where the numbers are truly striking. The same nationwide Quinnipiac poll showed 89% favor medical use, with strong majorities in all categories, whether political party, age, race, or education. But that broad shift is lost in the fight over Florida's medical marijuana initiative, Amendment 2. Here's an ad from the campaign against the proposal.
Get it. No prescriptions needed. There's even still a loophole for pill mill-style pot shops. 2,000 pot shops. Too many pot shops. Too many loopholes. Vote no on Amendment 2.
Florida is the poster child for the medical marijuana movement's uncomfortable adolescence. Despite dozens of states approving medical or even recreational marijuana and growing consensus nationwide that it offers medical benefits, a vocal minority remain obstinate, and they're leading the charge against Amendment 2. Here's Clearwater Republican Senator Jack Latvala.
I'm concerned that there won't be the ability for local government to regulate where these bud shops or pot shops are located. 2,000 of them is a lot of them.
The fight over the amendment has heightened these concerns about local control, with consequences for businesses operating under existing law. It's playing out in city and county governments across the state.
We're gonna have a little play on words here. The council pays me for my counsel, and my counsel was to establish a medical marijuana moratorium.
That's Milton Planning and Zoning Director Randy Jorgensen. The town of 10,000 sits in the far western end of the Panhandle, and it recently approved a six-month moratorium on medical marijuana businesses operating within city limits.
The amendment that will be voted on November 8th will broaden the audience from approximately 50,000 current program participants statewide to a million. We'd be looking at one out of every 20 people participating.
And Milton isn't alone. Large counties like Hillsborough and major cities like Orlando have passed moratoriums of their own. Council members in Milton aren't outright hostile to medical marijuana, but it seems no one to rhetoric that the initiative is a prelude to unregulated recreational marijuana has rattled city leaders. Here's Milton City Councilor Jimmy Messick.
As far as medical marijuana, I'm not opposed to it. But as long as it is governed and is, controlled, regulated, but I'm not for recreational marijuana.
At a Certera Therapeutics cultivation facility on the outskirts of Tallahassee, it's hard to miss how tightly controlled the substance is under current state law. After the first gate, there's a quarter mile of rocky dirt road. Then there's a second gate, topped with coils of razor wire. There's no sign out on the main road, and the nondescript warehouse sits by itself in a large grassy field. Once inside, staffers give me a white coverall with no pockets. The facility's horticulturalist, James Chapman, explains, Certera's treatments begin with clones, cuttings from an existing plant.
Give them about 2 weeks with a rooting solution and they pop out roots. You can see right here, these guys will be about ready next week.
When those sprouts wind up in pots, each one gets a unique barcode that will follow it through its entire life cycle. Chapman says they even track routine pruning.
So all of our trim, all of our green waste is weighed and logged into our software. After that, it's all destroyed through a trimmer and then we compost it here on site. It'll actually never leave the facility.
After harvest, buds are moved to another room, dried, and then run through what looks like an industrial-grade Cuisinart.
We'll fill it up, mash it down, fill it up some more. It will basically just turn it into coffee ground consistency in probably 10 seconds.
That's Matt Peters. He handles inventory and compliance at the facility. The ground material is then moved to the lab, where workers extract and refine the plant's oils.
So what you wind up with over here is this honey-like substance.
And the heightened security measures don't stop at the plants. Both Chapman and Peters had to undergo background checks to get hired.
Two.
What was that?
Two background checks.
Really? Okay, yeah. So and for everybody here, you have to get the background checks.
Right. That's right. I got to take the fingerprints and did a level two background checks.
To Kim Rivers, CEO of a different dispensing organization called TrueLeave, the security demands sound familiar.
Same. Same. I mean, armed guards 24/7. Same thing. I mean, in terms of the, you know, locked security gate. Yeah, it's all on lockdown. We have lab coats as opposed to coveralls. So pick your poison on that. I guess that's one difference.
But, Trulieve's Tallahassee dispensary was the very first one in the state, and Rivers says retail presents an additional set of security concerns.
So we have very, very limited product on hand, and the product that we do have on hand is not left in the dispensary overnight. It is taken into a more secure storage area.
With the campaign against Amendment 2 reaching a fever pitch, Rivers just shakes her head at some of the claims leveled by opponents. 2,000 pot shops? Rivers says Trulieve, one of six approved dispensing organizations, is moving forward aggressively. If all goes well, she hopes next year they'll have 15 retail storefronts, a far cry from 2000. For WFSU News, I'm Nick Evans.